What is the Dormant Brain Lab? What's that all about?
Okay, this was a brain and behavior facility that was run by a fellow named T.D.A. Lingo. He was a veteran of World War II, and when he got back from the war, he asked himself, why must I kill my brother in war? And he was studying brain science at the University of Chicago after the war, and he asked his professor of neurology, he said, why do people do this? What is it in the human brain, and not in the human brain, but he says, what is it that makes people in mass numbers try to vaporize each other during conflicts, during wars? Why is there a war? And his professor said, well, we don't know the answer to that here at the university, but if there is an answer to that question, it's in the human brain. And he said to Lingo, he said, you know, if you want to find the answer to that question, you can stay here at the university, but that's very slow. He says, if you want to find the answer to that fast, if you want to go fast, you're going to have to start your own research facility. So Lingo decided he wanted to go fast, and he went into show business to raise money, and within 3 years, he had enough money to buy 250 acres of pristine wilderness 40 miles west of Denver, and that's where he set up his facility. And it was set up so that people could come to this unspoiled bit of nature and study themselves, and they could study brain science and do whatever it took to answer ultimately that question that he asked the professor, which was, you know, what is this kill instinct in the human brain? But beyond that, people would come up and sign up for a 6 week brain in nature course in which they would remove themselves from the chaos and the commotion and all the distractions in the city, and they would stay up on this mountain and in quiet nature and in solitude, and they could discover who they were. They could study neurology and answer whatever questions that they had about themselves and about brain and behavior, you know, in general. And Lingo ran this facility for 35 years up until his death, which occurred in 1993.
Gosh, he must have just loved his work.
Oh, I mean, he was his work. And it was such a wonderful experience for me to be a part of that. He invited me to come to the Brain Lab in 1981, and I stayed with him for 11 years, and ultimately, and you know, shortly became his sort of go-between the city and the wilderness. And together, we did workshops. We devised new methods of educating people, and you know, a lot went on during that 11 years that I spent with him, and that's what I wrote about in the new book that you mentioned online.
You're not a scientist, but you must have learned more than most scientists.
Well, you know, like I said, back in 1989, I was describing functions of the amygdala to which people are just reading about now and on the internet. So he was far, far ahead of his time. There are many things that he spoke of and taught that, you know, it was decades later before the more conservative research establishments, you know, caught up with him. And indeed, his professor at the University of Chicago was right. He went fast. He was connecting the dots 30 years before anyone else was doing it.
Was he doing research there, Neil?
Well, what he did was he studied people who he had sort of a dual function as the director of the Brain Lab. People would come and study brain with him at the facility, mm-hmm. but he would also study the people who were participants. And so he had file cabinets and file cabinets filled with his observational studies of the people who spent time with him, as well as records that people kept for themselves in their own self-study. So there was, you know, he was a scientist in not in the academic kind of white lab coat sense that people might think of a brain researcher, but he was a behaviorist who indeed knew his subject area as well as anyone might who was in more of a traditional university setting.